Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew 6. Last week we mentioned a bit about prayer. We spoke about how to maintain an attitude of prayer. Before we continue on, I also wanted to mention the Baumans aren't here tonight. They've been dealing with stuff with Mark and Barb and everything. So if you can keep them in your prayers, that's just a tough family dynamic and thing going on right now. Prayer is the ultimate act of spiritual intimacy with God. We said that last week. Prayer is simply voicing our dependence upon God. And truly, the answer to every prayer is this: God is with us in all his power and authority to make up for our human limitations. Prayer starts in the heart, and it is effective prayer is simply a dialogue with God. If that's what prayer is, then maybe we can see what prayer is not. In Matthew chapter number 6 tonight, it tells us in verse 5, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues or in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." Here, as we look at these verses, we are reminded of somewhat of the abuse of prayer, the misuse of prayer. The scripture, Christ is telling us about the hypocrites. Who are those? They say one thing and then do another, in verse 5. In verse 6, it says that, again, reminds us, as our first statement here tonight, prayer is the ultimate act of spiritual intimacy with God. And it mentions here in verse 6, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet," indicating this is something special just between, could be just between you and the Lord. It's a secret thing. It's intimate. It is personal. I think all too many people just pour out their heart on social media and then are surprised by the ridicule or response. Abby and I were driving today, we were listening to this interview of this woman, and she has a child that has, it seems like, I didn't get the full diagnosis, I kind of jumped in a little late, and the child had, it seems to me, some sort of learning disability or some sort of behavior problem that out in public, it just becomes problematic. And she says, and so the interviewer was like, "Well, what would you like? What would you like? How would you like help?" "Well, it would be nice if people stopped and asked if what was going on and helping me understand the problem." And I thought, that would be about the dumbest thing you could tell someone to do. Imagine going around to everybody's kids. "Hey, what's wrong with your kid?" "Yeah, oh yeah, that wouldn't be offensive." "Hey, you don't have to flaunt your dirty laundry, if you will, all over the place. And when you do, don't be surprised when people respond to that." Amen. What does God say? God says, "Why don't you just talk to me?" Maybe instead of posting our concerns and the great atrocities of our society all over social media, we just go to our prayer closet and let God handle it. That might work. That was extra. That wasn't even in my notes. Verse 7. "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions." And it tells us, as the heathen do, indicating to me, Even the lost pray. What is prayer? Prayer is not magic. It's not some sort of vain repetition. We're usually doing our own thing, our own way, on our own timetable. And what happens is we get stuck. So what can we do? We pray to some sort of magic words and now our problem solved. No. Certainly the Lord does intervene, and when we get in trouble, the Lord does tell us to come to Him. But prayer isn't magic. I've been to Africa 3 times now. And there's witch doctors there, and they do things, and that there really is some, there's some heathen prayers that are pretty strange. You think that they can call or curse or do these types of things. God warns here. He says, no, that's not what talking to me is like. Prayer is spoken in the name of Jesus. Go with me to John chapter number 14. Prayer spoken in the name of Jesus should be just that. Request to come out of our spiritual intimacy with God. In John chapter number 14, look at verse 13. It says this, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Those are pretty strong words. It's a very powerful promise. Please understand that this is a reflection on that personal relationship with the Lord. We'll talk a little bit more about that and towards the end, so we don't get confused about what that means. It's not a rabbit's foot that you just rub, or a genie lamp, and all of a sudden God just... prayer is not a free ticket to health, wealth, and prosperity. Prayer is not a new product to be marketed. Prayer cloths, prayer charms, prayer beads. The more you put faith in that, prayer saints, prayer cards. You've seen those. This is a representation of the saint. You keep this with you, and if you run into trouble, you pray to the saint. The more you do that, the less you're about real prayer. Amen. Leonard Ravenhill says this, "No man is greater than his prayer life." Learning about prayer is not praying. Colossians chapter number 4. What prayer is not? Prayer is not magic. Prayer is not some new product that needs to be remarketed. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse 2. It says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Continue in prayer. God established a means of communication long before you and I ever touched this earth. And that's what He desires, just a real conversation. He wants you to pour out your heart before Him. Well, if we do it this way or do it, just talk to God and be quiet enough to listen to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 17. What? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Well, here's what we need to do. We need banners. We just need to pray. Maybe a list. Those are helpful. The older I go, the more helpful lists become, Brother Sutliff. I need lists to remind me about my lists. Nothing wrong with having a prayer list. But be careful that you not get caught up in the market of prayer. I like to read lots of... Maybe you have volumes of books on prayer. The amount of time you've spent studying prayer, I wonder what could have been accomplished had you just prayed. Prayer is not a management technique. Real prayer is spiritual warfare. And it requires that we wrestle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Go with me to 1 John chapter number 2. I'm going to ask, has the promotion of prayer eliminated prayer itself? 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here it defines what the world is. It's not the body of spinning mass around the sun. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about this, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hey, what is prayer? Prayer is real battle of those things. The flesh. The lust of the eyes. Pride. Everything that your natural man wants. You know what prayer is? It screams against that. The minute you kneel down and you pray, all of a sudden, hunger pains, tired. What? Your body is telling you, you can't do this. The alarm clock goes off. Hey, time to get up for prayer. Your body just fights against that thing. It is a spiritual battle. Why? Because it is the vein in which you communicate with God himself. Of course the flesh hates it. But look at what it leads to. Hey, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Well, why don't you get some victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil through prayer? That he doeth the will of God. The will of God abideth forever. The first requirement in prayer is that we come close to God. The more time we spend with the Lord, the more our prayers will reflect His will. We will begin to love people and love the things God loves. You'll use your resources and time to reach the lost. Say, just by praying. Because you spend enough time around the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to realize what is most important. And you'll have a heart and a compassion which naturally is not there. Say, why not naturally? Because naturally we're all about the flesh and the eye, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. When we live for us, it is difficult to have a healthy prayer life. Prayer is not magic. It's not a new product that needs to be marketed. Nor is it a new management technique. So how can we have a meaningful prayer life? Well, number one, prayer must be a priority. Prayer always comes first in God's timeline. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. Before you make a decision, can I encourage you in this? Pray first. Praying always in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer always comes first in God's timeline. Again, naturally, we begin with our needs and desires. We set goals and plans rather than waiting on God for His direction. And we rely on ourselves for answers. We believe this lie. Listen to the lie of humanity. With enough time and resources, we can solve any problem. Only to find out that we will waste a lot of time and resources in the fact that we cannot solve every problem. If we simply ask the Lord what He thought first and went in that direction. Luke chapter number 18. I could be wrong, but I think the lottery right now is $1.35 billion. Do you understand? That will not solve problems. That will create problems. No, that's what you need to solve your... That's a lie. You need to know what God says about things and do what He says. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Do you pray at the beginning or at the end? If you don't pray at the beginning, you're going to need help at the end. When we are free from the dependence on human plans, we are finally in the place that we can truly trust God. Imagine not having an agenda. Just coming to the Lord and saying, God, whatever you say, I'm going to do. And talking with the Lord. Wouldn't that be better? Number one, we have to make prayer a priority. Number two, we must invest time in prayer. I asked you last week, is your prayer life, now I understand that's very close in wording, do you pray to God or do you pray with God? And I'm going to ask you, we must invest our time in prayer. What that means is we need to come into the presence of the Lord. I want you to go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. A great example of that is found in a humble woman. 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and verse 11. This is Hannah speaking to God, and she says, and it says in 1 Samuel 1:11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of my life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. And now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Hey, that's good advice, right? And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. Look at, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Is that what your prayer life is described as? We need to invest real prayer with God. That we get a hold of His presence, that we are before His presence. Here she describes, I poured out my soul before the Lord. You cannot get to know God without spending time with Him. And our time proves what is important to us, does it not? What you spend your time on will prove what is important to you. If on the way to church tonight, all of a sudden you got one of those calls, Mom's sick, got to come to the hospital. Now we love the Lord, but man, that would take, we would all of a sudden make time for that. It's an emergency. It just proves to us, right? Why is it so hard to make an appointment with God? Let's open up our calendars for tomorrow, for today. Where was God's appointment in there? Where did you spend time with the Lord? Where did you pour out your soul before God? Where did you talk to God about? We must invest time in prayer. We can't just talk about prayer. We've got to pray. Have you scheduled the Lord right out of your day? Listen, I'm busy. I got things. I hit the ground running. Well, I start early and I end late. And I stop with all the excuses and make time for God. It's amazing. It's amazing that we have to, that God has to plead with us to make time for Him. Last verse, 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. I just read this today. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. What is that? It's similar to like Hannah. Just poured out her heart. Well, I'm afraid I'm not going to say it right. You can't say it wrong when you pour out your heart before God. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. They didn't do what they were warned to do. But can I encourage you? See, I'm not good at praying. The devil's lied to you. You certainly are. You can express your concern. It's just you and him. And be patient to listen to what he tells you to do. Number one, make prayer a priority. Number two, invest time, not in studying about prayer, not reading about prayer, not purchasing prayer objects, but praying to the God of heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for who you are. God, Lord, would you forgive us for being so busy and just not needing you? Lord, we waste so much time on ourselves, and Lord, help us to invest in that relationship with you. Lord, it's so special. It's so wonderful. God, we need you. Lord, I pray that you'd watch over us now and protect us as we travel home and maybe think about these things, how we can personally adjust our life to you. Spend time with you. Lord, again, keep us safe as we travel home. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for opening up that line of communication. And Lord, you made the first call. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.